go ahead and open our Bibles up to Ephesians chapter 5 this evening. And we're thankful as we continue on in this precious masterpiece of grace journey. And we know that these are the things that are being written in those. And I believe the likes of us, all by the grace of God, that believe him. And just say, Lord, I thank the Lord for this grace. I will to know. I want to know, and I want to know the more and more, Lord God. And he wants it more than us, but thanks be to God. He's put that praise and thanksgiving and that prayer in our hearts. More of you, Lord Jesus, and more and more and more of you. But I thank God that in the masterpiece of grace, we understand that masterpiece is in the new man. It's the new man. Amen, it is. The new creation. And we thank God. We glory in that man. Oh, I thank the Lord. God willing, on Sunday, talking about his workmanship if we get there. But oh, thank you, Jesus, that I know that that work, that perfection, that accomplishing, it's in the thing that I've sent it, in that new man, in that new creation. And that's what's going on in lives that truly are confident in that one thing, the new life. The liberty, praise God, of the grace of God that is with us. And I thank the Lord as I just was skipping and rejoicing with you last time we got together there in Galatians 6. And thanking the Lord to really understand Ephesians by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit's got to give you revelation in Galatians and vice versa. And how wonderful it is, how it's a perfect woven fabric. Isn't it wonderful? Just thanking God for it. But in Galatians 6, verse 15, you talk about that new man, the liberty that is in the grace of God, and that Christ in us, the hope of glory. Here it is right here. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That's what availeth. That's the profit. That's the bounty. That's everything, is the new man. And as many as walk according to this rule. See, this rule, that's the rule if you want to walk. Peace be on them and mercy. And thank God for that peace and mercy. And the only place you're ever going to find that peace and mercy, praise God, is in his favor and unconditional love and mercy to the new creation. That's why God deals with us, because Christ lives in us. Amen. Amen. We can't approach him. We can't even say he's God without his son. Amen. But in that moment of calling upon the name of Jesus, I'm accepted in the beloved. Oh my goodness, the embrace of the Father in the Son's hand and in the Father's hand, and assured and guaranteed, no man can pluck them out of my hand. Oh, praise God for this. So none of that avails anything but a new creation, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. And once again, we understand that that's on the full overcomers. And here we are, a little handful listening in tonight. Praise be to God. Now, this is the measure and the standard and the fullness of God that is only found one place, and that's in the new man. That's it. And we thank the Lord. It's the rule of grace. It's the rule. It's the standard of the new creation. And our minds, brothers and sisters, as the Word of God says, need to be renewed day by day. Day by day in this. More grace upon grace and grace for grace. Thank you, Lord. Praising him for his grace and the more grace. And brothers and sisters, what we want him to do, what we pray for him to do, is that complete change. Changing us from glory to glory. And I love that changing. Remember we were rejoicing? Same word, only found two other places in the Mount of Transfiguration. That's it. Transfigured into his glory. And that's the glory of it, is that that's what he's working and building in them that believe. And the key, once again, and may our thinking continue on grace alone, on grace alone. And I thank God, brothers and sisters, I believe we can all testify to this. He's done it for me. He's done it for me. See, when he said, let this mind be in you, that's a grace mind. That's a mercy mind. That's a mind that loves and understands, praise God, the love of Christ. I'm going to get a body like unto his own, but I can have his mind right now. That's right. And I thank God it's coming. And hallelujah, it's coming. But I can't thank the Lord enough for it. And, you know, some may look upon your life praising for this grace and mercy. And I'm talking about Christians. I know that I've been told that old saying, oh, he's talking about mercy so much, I wonder what he's doing. Well, keep wondering. You won't even get there. You don't even want to go there. But you know what? Thanks be to God. Even if I made my bed in hell, he's right there with me. As a matter of fact, he waited for me. Praise be to God. And I thank the Lord again. He loves us like that. And then I was thinking too, well, maybe it's just like those that were sitting around there wondering who is going to inherit the most in heaven. And there was that one that had all those transgressions and all that. Jesus said, well, I guess it's that one, the one that had to be forgiven the most. And so you know what I say to that? Well, maybe it's those that have to overcome the most. And I've got a lot to overcome. I'll get at the front of the line for that one. And you know what? I'll put those self-righteous ones that want to talk about me and say, you know what? And I got to overcome you too. So there you go. And, you know, the Lord's got it. And we need to just praise him for it. Pray for others. I'll tell you what, you better get this grace or you're going to be really sad. A trumpet will sound and you're going to be standing right here. And I don't want that to be you, and I certainly don't want it to be me. But this is what it's about, and I thank God. Now, we have a most precious continuation, brothers and sisters, of this precious encouragement of the spiritual walk. Remember how we got into that about those that walk in the Spirit? And we saw very quickly on in chapter 5 in verse 2, it says, and walk in love. See, chapter 5, and I love 5 grace, we understand that, but we're coming upon a chapter here that's going to conclude and going to really get into the mystery in Christ, but he's speaking of Christ in the church, that glorious church is without spot or wrinkle. See, what we're coming into is the walk of love. This is the walk that is in love. This is the walk and the walking in marriage. And going on tonight, this is spiritual, brothers and sisters, because we are born of the Spirit of God. We're spiritual. That's who we are. And there's far more than even on the surface in this chapter 5. Now, we're going to read about things tonight, God willing, that we'll see. It says to abstain from fornication and covetousness and foolish speaking and all these different things. I believe as the people of God, and I thank the Lord that we understand what morality is. Do you not? Do you understand by the grace of God that there's things that chasten us and convict us? Thanks be to God. And we understand that we want to have the Lord's testimony. People talk about their own testimony. I want the Lord's testimony because that's the only one that really matters. I want that life to be magnified in my life. Most importantly, in the depths of who he is, full of grace and truth. But I also don't want to bring any offense to the gospel of Christ. By the grace of God, more so as well too, I don't want to stumble my brother. Now that doesn't mean that I'm going to live a perfect life. But see, I understand that all that sin, that's already been taken away. That's already been taken care of. I understand I'm looking at the sons of God right now. Praise be to God. Neither do you sin, neither can you commit sin. But yet people want to dwell in that. And oftentimes, even us, I thank the Lord and we can say that. I understand the beauty of what this flesh is about. The beauty is the good fight of faith. The beauty is this is the two natures. Without them, brothers and sisters, there'd be no growth. Oh, amen. And you understand this as we go along. But I want to magnify the new man. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this is where we're hitting on tonight, and God have it to hit in all cylinders. But this is what's so sweet here is in 2 Corinthians, Paul, it says, espoused us to one husband, to one, and to present us a chaste virgin to Jesus Christ. And that's 2 Corinthians 11. Now, we by grace... By grace, we don't have other loves. We love this gospel. We're in love with this gospel. I thank the Lord. It's the same love that the Apostle Paul received of that gospel that There's no other gospel. There's no one else. There's nothing else that I'm going to marry. There's no other loves. It is that gospel. Amen? And I thank the Lord. It was just like it's Esther. It's not this one or that one or that one. It's Esther. It's Ruth. Right? It's Rebecca. Poor Leah. But that, you know, it was Rachel. Receive it and thank him, because that's her same response back to him. It's him. By the time Rebecca got there, all she was affixed on was seeing her bridegroom. That's all she wanted to. And by the time she got there, she knew exactly what he looked like. She knew his heart for her. She knew all those things. Didn't matter necessarily was where I was going as far as what did he prepare for me and all of those things. She just knew it was prepared. I want him. And that's what the beauty was he was coming. And that was him. And she was ready. Praise God. Now, Paul espoused us to one husband. By grace, thank the Lord, there's no other loves. We abide and we remain by the grace of God in first love. And that is the saint, brothers and sisters, again, that the Lord has encouraged to love no other gospel. Now we're going to come to this fornication that we see here. But this is really speaking on a deeper level, that there is no fornicating with other winds of doctrine. You just shut it down. And it doesn't matter what you have to go through to hear that wonderful bridal message, but you endure it, and you endure it with gladness. And we're going to get thumped, and we're going to get cut. And there's things that are going to be, in a sense, unlovely. But he's so lovely, it doesn't matter what we face. It's worth the fight. Are you sincerely in love, or do you just quit? And God help us, I don't want to quit. I thank God he puts that stirring in us. We go on. But there's no other doctrine. This is it. There's no reason to be unclean by holding the filthy rags of self-righteousness or desiring things that would satisfy and magnify my flesh. That's legality. And that is exactly how this chapter begins as we read these first five verses. There's nothing to covet. You're away from it because by the grace of God, he satisfies everything. I know how to be abased and how to abound. I know how to be hungry, and yet I know how to be full. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I don't tell him what state to put me in, praise God. I just want him. And I know, praise the Lord, as you go to him with these hands that are, Lord, just help him to just be open. Don't let them be holding anything except the crown. But you understand, Lord, you put in what you know that I need. And you take out what you know that I don't need. And we believe God like this. And this is what he'll satisfy. Now let's begin reading the first five verses here. It says, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Isn't that glorious? You want to follow God? You want to be dear? Walk in love. As Christ hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So this is very clear. But I thank the Lord, as we already spoke of, in a deeper level, we're coming into the section at the end of this chapter about the glory in the church. You see what I'm saying? See, you got to take this whole thing in context. And I thank God we know that there are these things by God's grace, whether it's adultery or lying or cheating or covetousness or fornication and all those things, by the grace of God. Lord, help me. Keep me from those things. I understand that. And I understand, I pray you do too. No matter what it's out there in that world, it's in that flesh. Don't ever think that you, for some reason, are above any failure or anybody else's sin, if you will go that way. Let me tell you something. But for the grace of God, every one of us, but for the grace of God, you have no idea what you might do or what you might not do. And that's the truth. You need to learn to trust God. And I thank the Lord. That's our boast. It's our precious Savior that lives in us. But see, we're talking about a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. We're talking about brothers and sisters, and we want to be in the abiding of those two churches, either the Church of Philadelphia or the Church of Smyrna. Amen? We want to be the full overcomers in Christ. That's what we want by the grace of God. But you'll read about those other five churches that missed it, and here are the things and the reason that they missed it. The first one is the works. That's the filth. The second one is that they went after other doctrines. They went after other loves. That was right there with the Church of Ephesus. I have one thing against you. You left your first love. You divorced it. This is talking about being a chaste virgin. This is about something that this isn't messing around. We're not dating. We're not. By the grace of God, you receive this, you're married. And we thank God for that. And there is that bond. And I thank the Lord. We're not after this for the gain in our belly, covetous types of things by the grace of God. That's not what we're after. We're just after Him. And you think about what Christianity has become. Like I say, Brother Hill would say it many times, almost good God, good devil, good everybody. You get into some of these Christian churches that used to for years to even preach salvation, you won't even hear about the blood of Jesus. They've taken the songs about the blood out of many hymnals. They don't want to preach it anymore. They don't want to teach it anymore. I thank the Lord we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I thank the Lord that we do not withhold a thing. This is the same preaching that the Brother Paul was given, and I thank the Lord that we go after it. Now, God help us to abide only in sound bridle words, like the sound doctrine of Paul. And as he says, going over to Timothy, this is where we want to abide, brothers and sisters. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, what does Paul tell Timothy? What is Paul telling us, the Timothys of this time? Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness, brothers and sisters. He goes on to say, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by what? The Holy Ghost which dwells in us. See, it's got to be the power of His might. And I thank the Lord, that's the quickening power in the new man. And that's the love that's shed abroad in our hearts. That's that first love. That first love being shed abroad by the Holy Ghost in our lives, we'll continue to pant after Him. We'll continue to go after Him. We'll continue to be led and to have revelation, because that's what the Holy Ghost does. He takes all the things of Christ and He shows them unto us, doesn't He? That's what He does. That's how this life can be locked in so beautifully in step with what the Lord has for our lives. Go on over to chapter 2, verse 7. Paul says it this way to him, and we've read this many times, but I pray the Lord really allow us to take this and to take this to heart, to consider what I say. That's what Paul says in verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I want to understand this gospel. And I thank the Lord as I consider what Paul says under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I see it. And it's not hard to see. It's like, well, there it is too. And there it is too. And there it is too. And it's boom, 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 boom all over the Word of God. And that same beautiful pattern of that marriage continues to ravish our heart. But see what God is encouraging us here of all these things about, again, Lord, help me to be faithful only to that gospel. Lord, help me not to go after other things, to have a hunger for the things of the world. I don't want to be like a Demas. I don't want to chase after the things of the world. I want to chase after the things of forever. I want that long-term, praise God, thinking. That's what it is, not just short-term sensation, but enduring the hardness as a good soldier, knowing what we're fighting for, and knowing who's doing and giving us the win all the time, the victories in Christ. But see, it also said there, isn't that interesting? Stay away from entertaining speeches, flowery words, eloquent speaking, but only preach all grace and the glory of mercy. And I thank the Lord. See, this brings forth a praise, brothers and sisters, when we preach grace, when we stay and listen only to the grace of God. There's a lowliness that comes in our hearts and a thankfulness that 1 Corinthians chapter 2 gives us such an expression of. And Brother Paul again says this so sweetly in chapter 2, verse 4. He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Ooh, I love that. "And the power of God." Did you hear that again? "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Oh, hallelujah. "Howbeit, we do speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Them that are fully grown understand what we're preaching." Us that are fully grown understand this preaching. "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained or appointed before the world for what? Unto our glory." Unto our glory. Oh, hallelujah, and thank God. And it's not done with trying to tickle an ear or enticing words or something that's just so, you know, pre-planned. And that's all man can do. They're just trying to pre-plan and pre-plan. I love the Spirit's quickening power. I love to just show up by the grace of God. I mean, you study, don't get me wrong, but I love to rely on the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh my. And let that mind of Christ just reign and let it run. Hallelujah and yay in the deep things of God. Learn to trust Him more. And I want to trust Him even the more. Praise God. And that's, someday just throw me out of here. I trust Him too much. There you go. But now going back to Ephesians chapter 5, 6 and 7. Let's read that. "Let no man deceive you with vain words." Interesting how much this is hitting on this, isn't it? See, we need to be careful what we hear. A little leaven, leaven's that whole lump. Little bit getting in. Let me tell you something. Word of God says, it says it this way, the silly women are led away. People, they can criticize you. They can say, well, you just think this or you think that. No, this is the mind of Christ. This is what the Word says. I really am not here to express my opinion, and I certainly don't necessarily need you to express your opinion. I want to hear what the Word of God says. We don't have time for opinions. We just need to come in here and seek His counsel. And I thank the Lord He counsels us through the Word of God by His Spirit. And so it says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Praise God. That's such a beautiful, simple, little sweet phrase here, but This is where the Lord wants us. But he says, be not partakers with them. Did you notice that? Be not partakers with them. Don't join yourself in any way with that nonsense. By the grace of God, brothers and sisters, we're mature saints. It's not to flatter ourselves, but he's grown us up in truth and love. And what happens when you're grown up in that truth and love, you become the true worshiper who worships him in spirit and in truth. It's a fervent love that develops in your life. Amen, it is. And that true worshiper draws nigh unto him in fervent love to kiss. That's what that does. That's what this gospel does. That is what draws us. And that's why he's telling us here, don't be partakers with that. You need to cut it off. Don't let it have any opportunity. When you're talking about truth, stay in the truth. Stay in the truth. Preach no other gospel. This isn't something to be polite about. It doesn't mean to be rude and obnoxious, but don't let that have opportunity for you. Because it'll never do you good. It won't. That little leaven, the little foxes, they spoil the whole vine. Now, we know that flesh and legality, as the Word of God tells us here, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. So why would we mess around with it? Why give it any opening in our lives, legality and the flattering of our flesh? Why would we want to deceive ourselves or others that somehow it's godly? We read in Colossians last week, go over to Colossians chapter 3. We read in chapter 3 that lie is something we need to avoid. And it says that in verse 9. Lie not one to another. I don't want to lie to you, and I don't want you lying to me. And what is this warning of not lying to one another about? Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. You're the new creation. The old man is dead. The old man is dead. All right? Now we have an old nature, but the old man is dead. You are brand new. You are a new lump. And I love that. And you ain't going back. It's who you are. And that's the glory and the joy and again, the power in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And in that precious faith that he has given to us by his grace, I'll tell you what, we're brand new. And I thank the Lord that we have this life of Christ that lives in us. So it says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, that's done, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Oh my. Where there is neither Jew, or Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Isn't that something? The very first thing, bowels of mercy. You want to be fruitful? Be merciful. Love one another. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that we're condoning things in each other's lives that we know aren't profitable or healthy or something of that nature. But let me tell you something. Don't you dare not even pick up a rock. Don't have a rock. And if you do have one, hit yourself in the head with it. And it's the truth. You're a mess. I would be a mess picking up rocks to throw. Oh, God forbid. Mercy better be pouring from our life. Kindness, humbleness of mind. What does this speak to you? It sure doesn't say I'm holier than thou. It sure doesn't say that, you know, you need to just follow me the way that I live. I want to be marked as an ensample that I followed Paul as he followed Christ. And it's this gospel, praise God, that is going to win those that will win Christ as bridegroom. So it says here, again, put on therefore in verse 12, as the elect of God, I love that. The chosen of God, the best of its kind of God. That's what elect means. It's grace's choice. Praise the Lord. Holy and beloved. Man, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do. Man, there's so much instruction of different things, but man, I'll tell you what, I just want this heart. I just forget those things which are behind. Everybody wants to have closure. I'd rather have it's finished. Not making light of stuff, I understand. But I'm telling you, this is a greater power and it can do it. It is. And I pray, God, we trust it more and more. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on love, agape love, which is the bond of perfectness. That what you want? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in the which also ye are called in one body. And what? Be ye thankful. I'm thankful for your thankfulness, brethren. I really am. There are moments, I get it, all those things. But we come together, and this isn't for show, parade, or anything like that. We're thankful. We're thankful. Yep, we groan in these bodies, but oh my, with what we have and know and what he's doing, we are thankful. Now, I want you to think once again about in context of as we're receiving chapter 5, and I pray the Lord is really encouraging this in you, is this is on a much deeper level than the fornication that most want to just see on a surface level. This is talking about the chaste virgin to Christ. This is speaking not of coveting material things. This truly is speaking about, Lord, help nothing get between you and me. Amen. I want this gospel. I want to go unto you out from among the camp. Amen. So I want you to think about this. Think about the great harlot and her bed in Revelation 2. All right? It talks about she has this bed and she's committing adultery and fornication with all these ones. What is the adultery and fornication that's being spoken of? It's works. It's exactly what it is. And what does it talk about the covetousness and that type of thing? It talks about filling up her belly with, that's why it's a religious want as opposed to a spiritual want. It's about all this gain and pomp and ceremony and, oh, I am full. I have no need. You understand now? You see what I'm saying as we're going through this? It's very evident of what the Lord is tapping at here. That idolatry. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. This is speaking of first love. And not let anything, not the good or the acceptable. We want the perfect will of God. Now, brothers and sisters, we know that inheritance and the inheritance of the Lord comes by continuing only in the word of his grace. As the Apostle Paul told the Ephesian elders, he said to them, he told them, I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. So that building, brothers and sisters, we know is only in the new man. It's only in the new creation. And I'll say it this way. It's the grace man. Are you a grace man and a grace woman? I pray we are. And I pray that's what really we want. And that's where the Lord tells us that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, we want and we desire what the Word of God says is gold, silver, and precious stone. God forbid any of us would live a life that we're saved only from the fire, but all of our self-righteous works were burned away. We don't have to be like that, do we? No. Sadly, that's the majority of Christian preaching today. Is it's a preaching of building wood, hay, and stubble. As opposed to this gold, silver, and precious stone. I don't want to be consumed with trying to magnify my flesh. I want to be consumed with magnifying Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's what I want to be about. That's the one, by the grace of God, that will rule and reign jointly together with him. They'll be glorified together with him. We just give him all the praise. We go on constantly magnifying and praising him for his mercy. For his mercy. And thanks be to God how that love is truly what really changes our lives. That's what draws us in on a Wednesday night. That's what causes us to want to know the Word of God and hear the Word of God. And as importantly, brothers and sisters, be amongst brethren. You desire to be amongst them that are of that bridal company. You have to have that fellowship. It's just innate in that one that has it. Now, he faithfully reminds us, as we close this up tonight, let's go on back to our text, chapter 5. He faithfully reminds us in verse 10 what this is all about, or 8 through 10. It says, you know, sometime darkness. You were sometime darkness, all right? But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So what the Lord is encouraging us, we want to be fruitful sons. Fruitful sons prove or are evident of what is acceptable, praise God, or good. The blood of the Lamb, the grace of God. That's what's good. We always want to just bring forth, praise God, the Lamb. That's all we want to bring back to the Father, is the praise for his Son. The children of the day, hallelujah, this light, those are the ones that are ready for the bridegroom. And we know that because we go on over to 1 Thessalonians and let's read about them that are of the light. We love this portion. And I thank God. And in verse 5, we read this and we know. Ye are all the children of light. Praise God. Every child of God is a child of light. But this is speaking of and speaking to specifically. That word children, by the way, that's euios. That's mature son. So that word, word children used there, don't let it fool you. Ye all are the mature sons of light and the mature sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Let us not be deceived. Oh, brothers and sisters, we don't need to get into that sleep. And we know what lulls us to sleep. We get it. We begin to be confident in our flesh. That's what kind of the slumbering eye is, or the folding of the hands. I'm increased with goods. We don't want to slip that way. We want to be on fire. We want to be awake and alert. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day. Paul puts himself right there. Right there. Us. Be sober. And how are we sober? Putting on the breastplate of what? Faith and love. That dynamic duo. Got to have that love in there. Faith worketh by love. That's why it says we need that breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Always the expectation of the Lord. He's coming now. And why? For God hath not appointed us to tribulation. That's what wrath means. We're not appointed to the tribulation. But to obtain, praise God, that out resurrection by our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been appointed out of here on the first trump. And thanks be to God. Just be alert and awake for it. How could we not, in a way, right? But see, without this preaching, without this teaching, without, thanks be to God, this encouragement always of this faith that he gives us, this believing in love, we will fall asleep. We will get complacent. We will get cold. We will get judgmental. You will begin to get legal. Stir up the gift, Timothy. Stir it up. Oh, it's in you, honey. It's in you. It's a love gift. It's a love gift that is so amazing and so powerful. It'll break up all that fallow ground, son. You just stay in that love, and that love will take care of every bit of everything. Because it's in first love, it's not going to be bothered. And it's in first love, praise be to God, it's going to will and do of my good pleasure because that love is of me. That's what happens in a life. So the unfruitful works of darkness, going back to our text, what's it say there in verse 11, chapter 5? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them. Thanks be to God. This is what this Spirit's power does. These are the things that might appear good to the flesh. We just discussed them, didn't we? Vain words, legality, entertaining speeches, covetousness, all these different things that magnify flesh. Things religion say are good but are despicable to God. But brothers and sisters, what we want to do is walk perfectly and diligently. And how do we do that? In the new man. In the grace man. That's it. Redeeming the time, gaining in grace and knowledge, gaining in faith and love. And that's what verses 15 and 16 is. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Whoa. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Oh, to understand his purpose, brothers and sisters. See, the life of the masterpiece of grace, praise God, is a wise life. Yes. We're wise unto our salvation, are we not? I'm not trying to throw roses at you. That's what the Word of God does for you. That's what Paul's gospel does. It gives you a doctorate degree in how wise unto salvation you can be. I don't doubt what salvation with eternal glory means. I know that this was all ordained, what is said, he said it there, unto our glory. That's what he wants to share with us. That's what he wants to receive from us. We're gaining in glory now so that we can give him glory. Give him glory. Well, what do you do when you marry somebody? You give them what? Yourself. Well, that's what grace does to his wife. It changes her into the very glory of God. Isn't that who it is? She descends from heaven. What does she have? The glory of God. And what does she also have? And her light. And this is what we're reading here. She's just lit up in that love, and she's lit up, praise God, with that glory, which is how he loves me. That's how you receive the glory. That's how you receive light. That's how you light up. And you think about even in a natural life, you light up when somebody loves you, especially when it's the one that you love loves you. You light up, you're happy, you're smiling, you have that dumb grin. But I thank God, this is it. And we light up when, as the Holy Ghost gives us more understanding, and really see yourself on that camel ride. Grace brought you out of that. And it's not lying to you. It's impossible for grace to lie to you. Grace is true. It's faithful. That's who he is. He's faithful and true. And that's all grace. And he's leading you. And I thank God that Holy Ghost is ministering to us. If you'll let him do it. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear. Hear it. Keep hearing it. Don't hear anything else. Hear this. And you'll light up. You'll soar. You'll be confident by God's grace to pray a prayer. Lord, thanks be to God. I fought a good fight. I know what grace and the power of his grace has done. It readies her. Well, that wasn't to Paul only. It was to all them also that love his appearing. So the life of the masterpiece of grace is wise and understands what the will of the Lord is. Wise unto your salvation. Wise unto grace. And what is the will of God? We know it. I love how 1 Timothy 2:4 says it. I would that all men be saved and come to that full knowledge of the truth. And in John 7:17, always know this. And this is what he gives to us in such absolute assurance. It tells us here, if any man, now the way this reads here in the King James, if any man will do his will, it actually translates, it's even in the margin here, if any man willeth, praise God, he shall know of the doctrine. Amen? Yes, he that wills to know will know. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I think grace put a fire in us. I will to know. And I just, by the grace of God, I want to know more. And I know one thing, if he has his drawn breath here, and we will to know, we'll know more. And I thank God it'll be more light upon light in that truth. I can't tell you how thankful I am for you. I'm so thankful again to see the grace of God that's with you. And to rejoice in it. I thank God for the revelation that he continues to give to his saints, to this body, and the establishing of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Our faith is going to be made sight real soon. And oh, we're going to be glad. Even more glad than we are right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand, be dismissed.